With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
At Discount Tire, we know your time is valuable. Get 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online. Did you know Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Check out our current deals at DiscountTire.com or stop in and talk to an associate today. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. My name's Kevin Graham, and as usual on a Wednesday now, I'm joined by Colin. Colin, what's happening, mate?
Not a lot, mate. It's been some really nice weather, making the most of it. It's not something that happens very frequently, and it's good to see all the Glaswegians are looking forward to getting back inside a pub as soon as the sun comes out. It's ironic, that, isn't it?
Well, we've been lucky here in Stirling. We've been in level two for a couple of weeks, but we're now getting...
Same here.
We're now getting kept in level two for some bizarre reason.
We're number one here in Inverclyde. We're going down to tier one. I don't think it means anything apart from you get an extra half hour in the pub, but that's an extra pint. Looking forward to it.
I mean, unless we could just sit here and talk about COVID restrictions and how wrong or how right they are all day, because there's no as if there's anything happening at all with our football club. I mean, what's happened in the last week? It's been an utter shambles. But it's like, when we were talking last Wednesday, it all looked like it was going to be Eddie Howe.
Yep.
And it was almost as if we're like the groom a week before his wedding, and his bride decides to run away with the rich scouse cousin, disappears, eh? And the guy's sitting there, and he does whatever good bright grooms would do. He went and got drunk, went on a dating app, and go to sell an Australian mail order bride, because, well, he's paid for the reception, he's paid for all the sausage rolls, and he's paid for the honeymoon. So as he's putting this plan to his best man goes like that, I stuff this, I'm out of here. And knew that the groom's now gone like that. He wasn't my best pal anyway. I didn't like him, really. I'll go and get another best pal to come in and help me out. We are an utter shambles.
I mean, there's no other words that you can say. It's, I think Anthony Haggerty puts it at best, saying that we're the biggest small club in the world, because we are, and it's a small club mentality, and it is a shambles. A shambles is the best way to describe it. And to be honest with you, Kevin, see, when you look at it, right, obviously when we came on last week, we had the feeling that things were going to develop pretty quickly. The season tickets were coming out. Everything was kind of, the stars were aligning for Eddie Howe to be appointed manager. Now, it's getting to the point of, you're looking at Ange Postecoglou and you're going, it looks as if he's going to be appointed manager. But there always seems to be these hurdles getting thrown up. Now, a couple of them's been batted down with the idea of his licence and stuff like that, but we're told this was a Fergal Harkin appointment, or this was what was came out in the press, which it's a struggle to keep up with what they're trying to tell you, especially when some of the articles that they put out are absolutely shocking to read. I just, honestly, the way things are going, I don't think we get Postecoglou. You're definitely not getting Howe. I could see us starting the pre-season with John Kennedy still in charge.
Oh, that's the nightmare scenario that we have. But that's at this, if we're dealing with facts at the moment, our two long term targets have both left. It's almost as if we're like the bowling club down the bottom of our road's run better, and four of the committee members died in the last year, and the one that's left is deep. So we are at an absolute shambles, but we've got to look forward. We have got to look forward. I mean, this is the last month of Peter Lowe.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last month of Peter Lowe. And the question that we have got to be asking is, how much say should he have going forward from this point on? Because basically, everything that he put in place has now fell about round his bum. Everything's now fell down. And if I see another interview or another source in one of the papers that says it was after an interview with Peter Lowe, I'm going, why is he doing interviews now?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he doing interviews? Right, fair enough. Peter Lowe, in the last 6 months, Gerald Ratner's been getting WhatsApp messages going, you seen what Peter Lowe's doing now? He's actually out there, knew how to destroy a company, how to destroy your legacy. So why is he still doing interviews?
I feel as though, and I don't know what it's like in your own place, Kevin, but we've got this thing in our work where it's a transition to retirement, where you only work a couple of days a week as you get towards the end of your retirement. If they take the responsibilities off you, you start transitioning over to the next person, the way a natural transition should go. At the minute, it still feels as though Peter Lowell has too busy of a schedule. He's still being involved. It's as if he's showing Dominic Mackay, this is how we do things here at Celtic. And to be honest, that's not what you're looking for, because you're not looking for Lowell Mark II. You're looking for a new guy to come in with fresh ideas and fresh business plans and put his own stamp on it. You don't want to just carry on the legacy. Now, people will say, well, there's still good parts to it. And I know there's been people that's come on here, contributors on here, that have said you've got to look at it and say, well, he's done fantastically financially for the club. Aye, that's all well and good. But over the last couple of years, his sort of presence within the club has become overpowering to the point where he's probably doing jobs that he wasn't qualified to do. He was getting involved in things where someone should have been appointed to do stuff like that. When he's getting involved in transfer negotiations, when he's getting involved in contract discussions, when he's almost helping to pick a backroom staff, there should be someone below him who deals with that. And this is what we believe is going to be the plan going forward, but it doesn't look as if it's going to be Fergal Harkin.
What is the plan going forward? We've just assumed it's going to be a director of football. It's going to be this new modern setup. I mean, what is it? Because nobody's actually came out and told us. And all we've seen over the last week or so is they didn't seem to have any clear vision in place.
No.
I mean, no. There's a rumour that Eddie Howe says he wasn't too happy about what was getting put in front of him and the vision that they had. Fergal Harkin, who looked a stick on for the director of football, has decided to walk away as well. Is this a case of maybe, like, Peter Wall? I mean, you look at our negotiations. You look at our negotiations over the last couple of years. They've always went to the last minute and all of a sudden the collapse. Something always happens. And is this maybe a case of Dominic Mackay gone, by the way, I didn't agree with this route, and Fergal Harkin's know where I'm going, and I want to do something different. Because, like you say, Zay, Peter Lawler's retiring in 3 weeks. He's retiring in 3 weeks' time. And you asked about my work there. Usually at my work, if somebody's retired, when they go off sick for 6 months and just leave. That's what usually happens. And they didn't do a handover, and they didn't do nothing, and they burn all their files and stuff like that. Eh? But I mean, I think we've seen meddling here. I've seen, how should Peter Wall have a say in the future of our club when he's not going to be there in 3 weeks?
I mean, realistically, he shouldn't, right? He shouldn't, but I still feel as if he goes, well, I've been in this job this long and this guy's coming in with complete no background in football. He's coming from a rugby world that's different than the rugby world. He's coming from a business world. I've been in here long enough, so I'm going to tell you how these things go. And it just, it reeks of unprofessionalism. I mean, when we spoke away back, what, October, November time, when Celtic were knocked out of the League Cup, when Celtic were on this horrible run, I think it was, what was it, 3 wins in 13 games or 14 games, and we'd come on after the games and it'd be myself, yourself, Paul and everyone else that was on, and we kept going, right, this is Groundhog Day, this is it, it's got to be tomorrow, we've got to wake up and we've got to see that the board have taken action and removed Neil Lennon from their post. And I kept saying to you guys, it's not going to happen because we don't have a plan in place. Now, we knew back then that Neil Lennon was never going to be the manager this season coming up. So you knew back in October, November. The board knew back in October, November because they did offer the job to Gordon Strachan and to Martin O'Neill to come in to take over between then and the end of the season. It's widely been discussed that that was the case. But yet, if they knew back then, why are we sitting here at the first week of June? And it's as if the plans are as unclear as what they were back in October, November. So there is complete unprofessionalism behind the scenes. Yes, you may have had your number one target and you may have had your number two target, but there's got to be more than that as well. And if that was your number two target, he should have been lined up to go the minute that number one said, no, it's not for me.
It's kind of that way. And we are, there's been a couple of comments here. Yes, we are trying to, we don't know who's in charge in Celtic, but what we've got to say is Peter Lawler doesn't actually retire to the 31st of this month. 30 days has September, April, June. The 30th of this month, right? He doesn't retire at the 30th this month, so he's still in charge. At the fans forum meeting that I was at, the Dom Mackay says it was a watching brief only at this precise moment in time. So we've got to say that this absolute mess is under Peter Lawler's watch, and it goes back for the last 18 months of messes under Peter Lawler's watch. I mean, for me and you, Celtic is the best job in the world. So how can you not sell the best job in the world to your number one target? How can you absolutely mess that up? How can you do it?
I mean, do you know? Because I don't. I mean, it's getting to the stage, and as I said earlier, we are the biggest small club in the world, but we are the biggest club in this small goldfish bowl. We should have the resources to go out and get the target that we want to get. Now, whatever's happening behind the scenes is telling us that we're not getting it. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, Brendan Rodgers at the time was an anomaly for Celtic. He was available for Celtic at a time when Celtic really needed a figurehead, and Brendan Rodgers, with his ego, which you've seen since he came over, needed to get back into that position of being in power and winning things. And it was perfect timing for him. Everyone else that we've appointed round about that signing, you take a look at guys like Tony Mowbray, Ronnie Dyla, Neil Lennon, that is the level that Celtic get to. Now, people will come in and say, well, we should go out and get a Ralph Rangnick, we should go out and get a Rafa Benitez, we should go out and get that. That's not the shop we're shopping at. That's Harrods and we're shopping at Lidl. And that's the level that we need to kind of go to. Now, if Eddie Howe was available, that would have been a signing around about the ilk of Brendan Rodgers, and it would have been fantastic for the club. Now you're back shopping at this lower level. Now, I'm not actually having a go at Postecoglou because I actually listened to a podcast that he was on with Anthony Hudson, and he speaks very well, and I know he's got this experience. But what you've got is you've got someone that's coming in who will take a bit of time to adapt to the Scottish game, as most people do. And at this point in time, I'm not 100% sure that Celtic can afford to hire a manager that's going to take time to settle in. If that was the case, there was a time when Neil Lennon was gone, there was weeks in between games back in April, that was a time where they could have got him, let him sit in the background, let Kennedy and Strachan take the team between then and the end of the season, have a look at the squad, evaluate it, and then by the time it comes to that last game against Hibs, he could have been announced and we could have started the rebuild. Now we're starting it 2-3 months late and we're in catch-up mode. It's only about 4 weeks till the first game that we've got against Sheffield Wednesday. We go down to Wales in 4 weeks' time and you're looking at the players that's going to be missing because of the Euros. You're looking at the players that are potentially going to be leaving. The squad that you're going to take down there is going to be so threadbare.
It's almost as if they're absolute meddling and their failure to get deals done has written off next season already. And what you're actually maybe hoping for is next season as Rangers absolutely have a season like we have for us to even challenge. Because we are in an utter mess. And it's Brian Watt agrees with you. If Celtic were serious about Postecoglou, they would have had him in a half a year ago when there was nothing left to play for. They sat on their hands and now are just clutching at straws. That looks like the case. Postecoglou looks like an absolute plan B. And not even a plan B. It actually looks a plan C, D, E, F, because everything else, they put all their eggs in one basket. And what you've got to ask yourself is this. If they were so sure of Eddie Howe, why did they not get him to sign anything? Why did they wait 3 months down the line for Eddie Howe to try and get his coaching staff in place? They should have asked him 3 months ago. They should have behaved like a big club, not like a club that felt that they were lucky to be getting Eddie Howe. They should have went to Eddie Howe. By the way, we've got guys wanting this job. Are you going to get your coaching staff? Can we announce you? Can we actually start working with you? And they haven't done that because I think they've put themselves in the position where they've said, oh, we're going to be lucky to get you, Eddie. We'll pander you to the last minute. And that shouldn't happen at Celtic. And right, somebody says, are Celtic, Donny Spamo comes in and says, are Celtic a big club? We're playing a small league, but with the size of the support, we are a big club. We are a massive club with the size of the support. And that's what you sell to people. You don't sell the Scottish League, you sell Celtic, you sell the Celtic backstory, you sell us as the Celtic support. And that's something that we seem to fail to do time and time again.
Yeah, I mean, we take a look at it at this point coming in from Gerry Murphy. Why is Lowell still in charge? We have another CEO in the building now. We've discussed that. It's a sort of transition period, right? And you kind of wonder if...
This week on The Marketer's Report, Patrizio Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct-to-Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on building trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all, every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the data you need to grow. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
I switched to Boost Mobile and got a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone. Want to know the best part?
It was free?
Nope.
The fact that it's on America's largest 5G networks?
Nope. It's the ding.
Oh, yeah. Love the ding.
Right? It's all about the ding. It's the ding-a-rooski, the ding-a-roner, the ring-a-ding-ding.
Unleash your power to save with Boost. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone when you switch. Boost Mobile. Unleash your power.
And the ding.
Limited time offer. New customers only. Available on select networks. 5G not available everywhere. One device per line. Tax excluded. Additional restrictions apply. See your local Boost Mobile store for details.
Dominic Mackay is at the position where he's not able to make these decisions yet. Even though we know he is waiting in the wings ready to take over, everything still gets signed off by Peter Lawwell at the minute. So, I mean, he could have all these ideas. He could have a new kind of plan of action, but he can't sign off on it yet. And if that's the case, you've then got to get to the stage where July 1st comes around, and then that's when you go forward. And at that point, it's far, far too late. Everything is now running 3 or 4 months behind schedule. And if you keep up with that, we're going to get to the stage where the Champions League qualifiers are going to come round. You're probably going to be playing with Welsh and maybe Hendry at centre-half. The transfer targets are going to disappear. And your managerial targets are going to disappear again. You take a look at it. I think in the time since Neil Lennon's departed the club, I think half a dozen or more Scottish clubs have sacked their manager and went and replaced a new one. Real Madrid went out, replaced Zidane with Ancelotti yesterday. There's jobs going in England. You can't sit on your hands, as you're saying. You've got to be proactive. And that proactiveness probably should have started back in October.
Well, you look at the other clubs that you named, clubs that say that they're big, massive clubs. Does it actually point out to me that the Celtic executive team's not up to scratch either to try and get these deals over the line? Because it's not just Lowell and the CEO has to get these deals over the line. There's lawyers, there's accountants, there's other people who have to be involved in these deals. Does that mean that they're not fit to actually do what Celtic Football Club need to do?
I think it comes to a stage where everybody runs their course in football. I mean, football changes so drastically, over a period of time, maybe somewhere in between 5 and 10 years. You see it, I mean, when do you ever see a manager kicking around for any more than 5-6 seasons? They then go on and move on because their ideas, they go stale, and you need to bring something fresh into the club. You see chief executives, I mean, Peter Lowell's one of the longest standing chief executives in UK football. And you saw he's had the opportunity to go to Arsenal before. Even behind the scenes, you bring in new goalkeeper coaches, you bring in new fitness coaches. Everything has to change to adapt to the way that football changes. So if you are looking at the boardroom, people have to move about in their job because you get too comfortable. And if you get too comfortable, then targets start to get missed. And that's exactly what's happened with Celtic.
It's almost as if the people doing the deal say, we've been doing it that long, we know better than you. We know what we're doing here. But everything will be fine, just let us take it. I've negotiated like this before and it gets to that point and I eventually won. That's what happened. I eventually won. David Kelly makes an absolutely fantastic point. We can't keep blaming Lowell for everything, guys. I'm not a fan of his, far from it. He's just had his house torched and his family almost killed and he's still doing a job for Celtic. Well, maybe this is why I'm starting to wider the picture of the whole corporate shape at Celtic, whether it's fit for purpose, not just Peter. Peter might just be the figurehead of multiple failings behind him. And this is why we need Don Mackay to come in on the 1st of July and only judge Don Mackay for the 1st of July.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
at the moment, Colin, he's getting set up like Dewey's debut at Clyde. there's a frozen pitch, there's frozen fog, it's live on the telly, and he's coming on to... He's starting massively down.
That's a good comparison. Oh, going back to that debut of Dewey, that was one of the worst games of football ever. I mean, we'd Roy Keane playing centre mid that day as well. You look at the team that we put out and they still get turned around. I know the Clyde boys that have got a podcast on here, they had Eddie Malone on a couple of weeks ago, and even just seeing that back, the horrors came crawling back. But aye, it's spot on. As you said, he is being set up right now because his hands are tied behind his back. He can't make the executive decisions. Even, I don't know, do you renew by... Do you get your renewal pack in or do you do it online?
They'll be counting me as a renewal because I'm automatic direct debit. So they will be counting me as a renewal and at this precise moment in time. So when we all got that email last week and the cynical season ticket email punt that they gave last week, thank you to the thousands who have already renewed. Well, that's guys like me who just maybe haven't got room to cancel on their direct debit yet.
So I get my renewal pack in yesterday.
And I'm not going to cancel my direct debit before anybody comes in, any of these Uber Tims coming at me.
Uber Tims, that's a new Twitter account. I'm setting that up after this. No, I got my renewal pack in yesterday. And it's signed off by Celtic Football Club. We always asked who was going to sign it off, whether it be Don Mackay or Peter Lowell or whoever. It was signed off by Celtic Football Club. And the bit that actually got me was... It's obviously a mail chain. Everyone will get it, and if you've not got it yet, I'm kind of spoiling it for you, but it says, without Colin Watt, football is nothing. That is literally the heading that comes into it. And I think it's a joke.
Oh my God.
It's a joke. So anybody that gets it in, whoever your name is, so Kevin, if you got yours, I'd assume it would say, without Kevin Graham, football is nothing, but... I suppose it's meant to be a nice, oh, come on and renew, but it's one of those that's like cringe.
I agree with that. I foot Kevin Graham football, isn't it? I completely agree with that. Where do I sign up for my 6-season tickets? I want take my money. I didn't care that we're another mess.
It's wild.
It's what Jim Orr says on Friday. One club since 1888 in that, eh? It's just like, what did he say? It's we are the people for the good guys. We laugh, and it's empty rhetoric whatsoever. And I wish we had empty rhetoric. I mean, we haven't even got that. There were some guys trying to have a laugh at Rangers having the fan share issue. Oh, look at them, they're getting money. Oh, here we go. Without Colin Watt, football is nothing. I like that. I do like that. That's really cringe worthy stuff, man. I need to applaud them for scraping the boat with that barrel with a wallpaper scraper, man. That is good.
That was a good laugh. That cheered me up yesterday when that came through the post. That's a renewal guaranteed now, because without me, football's nothing. So I'm there.
I didn't even care if we're going to be in. And going back to that point, eh? And Bronsgrove boy comes in, he comments all the time, and he's commenting on Periscope. The entire board is gutted, would not trust any of them to run a bath, and I'm agreeing now. I go back to David Kelly's point. Are we blaming Peter Lawl too much for this? And as I've said, I reckon there's a whole lot of facades for this embarrassment. But unfortunately, for Peter Lawl is the face of these absolute, utter embarrassments. I mean, everybody used to say, when something happens in football and a team utterly mess up, you say, aye, they've spursed it, they've hibsed it. We've completely bypassed that now. We've created a new term. It's got to be, aye, you've Celtic that, eh? Oh, that, you thought you had that over the line and now it's come back to bite you on the bum.
So define Celtic then. What, if I was to look up the Urban Dictionary, what is Celtic that?
Fat, lazy and arrogant who thinks they're great and who thinks everything's just going to fall into their lap and get a slapped about.
So anybody that edits the Urban Dictionary, you can put that in and you can accredit that one to Kevin Graham.
Aye. I mean, you mentioned Jack Hendry there. I mean, it seemingly has signed for that Belgian team.
Aye, I wasn't aware of that. I hadn't seen that. So then that leaves you kind of an even bigger disadvantage when you come in. I actually just quickly searched that whilst I seen the comment come in. It looks as if Ustend are going to
flip him.
Buy him and flip him. So,
Why did we not think of that?
Because we tried to play him against Partick Thistle and he was absolutely mincemeat that day. Do you remember that? Are we back? Was it a cup game?
I know. He looked like a giraffe with three legs, trying to running about in circles.
Was that the same one where Kenny Miller missed the open goal for Partick Thistle that day?
Well, it probably was. I try to block out what Kenny Miller does in my mind. even in a Celtic jersey, I try to block out what Kenny Miller done in my mind. Kenny Miller proved that he would have sold his granny for $20,000 a week.
I still insist we sold him too early. I think he was coming into a bit of form when we sold him. I mean, there's not somebody you want to keep around the club, but we could have got something else out of him and we could have probably got more for him. But we'll move on for that, because that could open a massive can of worms.
I like opening the can of worms, mate. I mean, you're on a Wednesday with me now. I love opening the can of worms. I mean, somebody, I can't remember who it is in the comments here, says, our new CEO who takes over on the 1st of July, does they know anything about football? Want to ken, son? I didn't want my CEO to ken anything about football. I want my director of football to know about football. I want the CEO to know about... Well, I want them to know to take care of the business side. Even though I didn't like saying football's a business. But I would want the best... Your CEO is the best person to know about business side, know about communicating with the fans, knows about sponsorship. That's what your CEO is there to do. He's not there to negotiate contracts of Ivan Toney. He's not there to negotiate contracts. He's not there to go to your manager. Oh, by the way, I found this guy in the French second division. I think he's great. And he's far better than anybody that you're picking, eh?
Speaking of the... Speaking of the French second division, did you see Toulouse in the playoff with Bayo up front?
No.
So he was playing on Saturday, it was. They were already 2-1 down to Nantes. And he scored that. He actually scored quite an impressive header. But he was lucky to be on the park. He put in one of them tackles that every time you see it, you go, oh! And it gets worse every time you see it. He basically stood on the boy's ankle. But there's another transfer deal that looks as if it won't go through then, because apparently we needed Toulouse to go up for Bayo to go there as part of his deal. So maybe we'll have Bayo back for the Champions League qualifiers.
We're trying to cheer everybody up here.
It is Wednesday.
What have we had this week? We've had Eddie Howe saying cheerio. We've had Fergal Harkin saying, this is nowhere I'm laying my hat, and that's the wrong pun, because that was the Fergal Sharky. That was actually Paul Young. See, that's twice I've got music things wrong. You've got Jack Hendry deciding to go to Belgium, then move to England. You've got Luke O'Connell getting told to sort out his Celtic future. You've got the mystery of Olivier Nchan. Has he been released? Has he not been released? And we keep on getting linked with all these players, and you're going, who's scouting all these players? And I know, understand that the scouting has to go to be separately, but you're going, well, who's scouting? Who are the scouting team? Who Tosh McKinley, in that going? Are they going in an empty office with scouting folders gone? Like, who do I give this to? What's going on?
Is it still Tosh now?
Tosh McKinley is part of the scouting team, eh?
I mean, because you look at it and you see that we got rid of our head of recruitment a couple of months ago, and the person that was working alongside him. So that's another position that you're still looking to fill at Celtic. So you've got an incoming CEO, you need a new manager, potentially a new coaching team, you need a head of recruitment, and it's June. What are we doing?
What you're actually looking at is whoever comes in as the manager is going to get handed a team and going to go, by the way, we've made some signings, just go and have a look at them, because he's not going to have time to do anything else.
No, he's not. And I was listening to that podcast with Ange Postecoglou, and the point that he actually made was that he is happy to work alongside coaches that he's never worked with before, as long as they share the same vision of him. Now, that is ideal for Celtic right now, isn't it? Because you know that they're desperate to put John Kennedy and Gavin Strachan with whoever the new manager is, to keep them at the club and to give them what's left of their contract. John Kennedy, he's got a contract for life at Celtic, the way it stands. I would have loved if a new coaching team had came in and then they gave him the Colts job next season, because that's going to be a full-time job for a manager, because they're playing, 30-odd games they're going to need to play next season. So you are going to need a full-time manager in there, but it does look as if Ange comes in, then he's going to work alongside Kennedy and Strachan, and he looks forward to that. So he's ticking all the boxes for the Celtic board.
He is ticking all the boxes, eh? But then that goes against the guy it was on yesterday. I can't remember his name. Was it Jared?
Jared.
Fantastic, eh? That goes against what Jared says. He's previous. He's always bringing his own team. But we are at a point where it could be that it might not be Stratton and Kennedy, but he might need to actually rely on Stephen McManus or somebody like that until he brings in his own team. So yeah. you could have a transition stage where, if it is Postecoglou, when he comes in and he goes, right, use guys, I mean, he's got to have 10 days isolation anyway, so he can watch all the tapes for last season. he can do a lot of work in the 10 days. It's not as if he's got to be sitting in a hotel room himself. He is going to be working at that point. And he is going to need a hand. That worries me. It does worry me that, as you say, the Kennedy and Stratton are part of the problem. And that was maybe what scuppered the Howe deal. I mean, I never thought we'd be sitting here believing that Peter Grant taking the Dunfermline job was the first sign that Eddie Howe wasn't going to...
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
I mean, that's I live in parallel universes, but that is I wouldn't even have dreamt up that one, that Peter Grant taking the Dunfermline job was the first sign of we were going to go absolutely mental.
It's mental when you think you're relying on Peter the Pointer to come in and basically fix up what has happened in the season. But no, I'll tell you what, all the best to him at the...
Aye, definitely.
I know it's not went down great with some Dunfermline fans, but I think he's still got a lot to offer, so good luck to him for this season.
It'll be interesting to see what he does there as well. We need to... We're trying to look forward, but it's quite difficult to look forward when we've got this so much turmoil and so much rubbish actually going on at the moment. And you can't help but laugh at times. I mean, you just can't. When that Fergal Harkin story came out last night, you were like, here we go. What's next? Facebook user...
I was going to say, you kind of get an offer who would come in and write a better story right now. Stephen King's looking at this season, seeing if he can put together a film contract. Honestly, it's been, I don't know. Yeah,
I'm doing a project at the moment, and it's a fictional story about something factual, and I couldn't even have made this up. Facebook user comes in, the board should have a shared vision to move forward. The fact that seems to be everything is in limbo until PL leaves the building shows that other members aren't fit for purpose. I'm fully on board with that comment. I think this was coming more and more clear that the board are split. The board can't agree and the executive team are not fit for purpose. And I says a couple of weeks ago that the executive team weren't fit for purpose when they were all sitting in that room at the fans forum.
Yeah.
Then when we were on air last week to come out with that £50, and me, old cynical me, I'm going like that, you're not going to tell me they didn't have a clue that they were going to do that when they were all sitting in that meeting going, we haven't got a clue what we're doing.
Oh, but can you imagine if they'd announced that at that meeting, how that would have went down? So they were looking for a sort of plan B at that meeting. They were looking for you guys to come up with something that was going to be like, all right, well, we don't actually have to announce this. We can actually do this. But then, what was it, 5 days later and out it comes? So
it comes.
It was definitely being worked on in the background.
Scott Howe, Lampard, Duffy and Maloney would be a good shout for me. I didn't want to see Frank Lampard anywhere near our club. Duffy and Maloney I could probably get on board with, but no Lampard.
Sorry, just going back on that, we're not talking about Shane Duffy, are we? I take it we're talking about Damien Duffy here.
I'm hope we're talking about Damien Duff.
Aye, because Shane Duffy don't let him back.
Did I say Duffy? I think it was Duff.
I think it was Duffy it came up with.
Aye, it was definitely. Well, I took it as Damien Duff. So
I hope so as well.
Hopefully, it was that. Right now, mate, I would take that. I would have Hughes instead of Lampard, but we need someone to start getting our team sorted. I agree. Are we at the stage where Big Yogi's looking like a great possibility?
Alan McFadden coming in to say Jim Duffy. I mean, this is the way it's getting. No, I mean, there is some really good candidates out there. I think Ange is the sort of the route that the board's looking to take down. I know they've spoke about Keane and stuff before. I said to my pals the other day, I wouldn't be surprised if it gets to the stage where Callum Davidson gets offered the job after the season that he's had. I'm half joking at that point.
How far's Craig Levein in that list? Are we at Craig Levein yet?
No, he's still saying that Bayo never scored them goals. He's getting nowhere near Parkhead. No, there's a name that's probably out there that quite a few people probably haven't thought of. And for me, I think if you're going to target a big name, it'd be someone to go for. And I would have to say that Marco Silva is one that's out there that would be a good candidate for Celtic. I know he left Everton not in the best of terms. He's not went back into management yet. But the time that he's had, he took, I think it's Panathinaikos, he had a fantastic record there, came over to England, showed that he could cut it at that level, gets the Everton job. And then from then onwards, he's still looking for that route back into football. Now, I think the Celtic job's a good offering for him.
I think the problem that we've got there, Colin, is our team gets these deals over the line have actually proved that they can't get somebody to take the job that is not Celtic minded.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from Ronnie Dyla.
Yeah. But then Ronnie Dyla was never meant to be the manager, was he? I mean, he was coming in as the number two. So that's a promotion for him. So obviously he's going to take the job.
Anybody's going to take this job. And it's the same with Postecoglou. He's not going to say no to the job. He's not going to say no to his chance to come into European football if it is Postecoglou that's coming in. There's a comment by Maravchek 25 here, and it's no effing laughing matter, Kev, when you're being asked for 3K in season ticket money. I understand that. I do understand that, but we're trying to bring a bit of light and humour to this absolute mess that's coming in, that's actually happening at the moment. And a lot of people are going to, this is where we are. I mean, let's go to a cynic. Let's have another wee hot take, another cynical thing. What happens if the Eddie Howe deal fell through because of finances, because Celtic know that the season tickets are going to bottom out?
You'd like to think it would be the opposite way. You'd like to think if Howe was appointed, then it would encourage the season ticket sales. And I'm interested to know, anybody that's in the comment section right now, are you or have you already renewed? Are you going to renew? And who isn't going to renew? Because you'll be able to take a sort of guide from that as to where we are as a club. Now, I think the figure that's sort of been panned about at the minute is around 11,000 season ticket holders that have already renewed. And you're sitting at, what, I don't know, 57,000, was it last year? Maybe just slightly less than that. And you've got a month to do it. Now everybody will say, look, you should have known this was coming. But you don't even want to get to the point where, are you going to get to the 25th of June when the first renewal date was? And by the way, they'll extend it, because they always extend it. That's the way Celtic go. The actual renewal term will probably end up being, I don't know, start of August probably, Kev. But if you get to the 25th of June and you've not got a manager in place and you've not got a backroom staff in place and you've not got a head of recruitment in place, why would anybody be in that position to go, I'm going to give you, as Maravchik 25 says, here's my £3,000 for next season? Why would you get to that stage? You've got to look to see, okay, you've got that emotional attachment to Celtic, but you're looking for them to provide something for the money that you're paying.
I know. The Urban Clouchy comes in. I threw in Joe Kinnear and Gary Caldwell months ago as a joke. This may happen. Joe Kinnear was actually considered before Martin O'Neill. Joe Kinnear's a name that always gets kicked about.
Is Joe Kinnear still in good health? I know he took not too well when he was in charge of Newcastle. I think that was what put him out of business completely, wasn't it? Was it a heart attack he took when he was in charge of Newcastle United?
I think it was, aye. Again, he's probably another guy who's no favourably looked at because of his style and the styles that his team played, eh? But it's... We're at a peak time here. We're at season ticket time, and Celtic are utterly making a mess of it. They're making a mess of what should be a looking forward time of the season for us. We should actually not be buoyant with the season that we've just came back off, but we should be sitting here this week going, we're going forward, we're going places, I'm looking forward to next season. But we're sitting here going, well, we don't know what is going to happen next season. Let's talk about Ange Postecoglou. And on Monday, the Monday club were very much, not against, but they raised concerns. Yesterday, we had Jared on from Celts Down Under. It was Celts Down Under that he was from.
Yeah.
I never noted it down. And he gave a bit of knowledge of what he can do for us.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts?
I think it would be, in normal times, an interestingly good appointment for Celtic. We've always been looking for someone out of the box, someone that's not a Celtic-minded person to come in and take over. I honestly think the problem that came with having Neil Lennon last season was that pressure to deliver success and having the idea of being the Celtic man, that if you didn't deliver the success, then it's a massive problem. You want somebody that can take that pressure on without having the additional pressure of being the fan as well. So Postecoglou coming in, I think would have been a good appointment even back then. Listening, as I said, to that podcast with Anthony Hudson, I can't recommend it enough if anybody's not heard it yet. The line that really caught me from it was, if you were ever to be determined on one game in your coaching career, how would you play it? Now, he says there's people that's out there that would say, well, they would set up and they would set their team up so that they're impossible to beat, so that they could go out and maybe scrape a 1-0 victory. He says he would set his club up And if his coaching career was on the line, he would try and win the game by as many goals as possible. Now, to me, that's something that we've sort of missed with Celtic this season. You take a look at the sort of the passing the ball side to side, not really creating a lot of chances. I think when Lennon left the club, we saw the chances started to come back. I think at one point, was it 120 chances for 3 goals or something that we ended up scoring in that game against Dundee United at Tannadice, where we had about 30 or 40 chances. Now, we saw that we can actually go forward with a bit of gusto, but that has been missing for parts of the season. Parts of the season, we were really boring to watch. You could drift in and out of games without missing much. I'd like to see, as Anthony Haggerty says, the free-flowing, rip-roaring, never-boring Glasgow Celtic. And I can't guarantee that that's what you get with Postecoglou, but that's the way that he sounds he wants to put his team out to play, and that would be exciting to watch.
Are you willing to give him time to implement that?
We should, but Willie is a different question. I mean, this season is really, really important. You don't want to get to the stage where whoever wins the league this season gets £40 million, and if you're not competing to get that Champions League money, then we are struggling. And it's going to have an effect not only on the players that we can go out and recruit, but it's also going to have an effect on the way things go forward for the next 4, 5, 6 seasons after that. One of the biggest downfalls, we've always said, of Celtic over the last couple of years is the fact that we didn't qualify for the Champions League. And there was times where we had some fairly straightforward, not easy, but straightforward routes to get in there. So you're looking at potentially, what, £90 to £120 million of lost revenue in that period. Now, a normal club would go invest that in the playing squad. They would guarantee the success and they'd keep it going. If Rangers get to that position next season where they're guaranteed the Champions League money, you know they're going to invest it. And if they invest it, it makes them harder and more difficult to keep up with. So the first thing that you have to do is close that gap right away. 27 points to fall behind them last season, considering the position of strength that you were in 9 seasons before that, is unacceptable. So if it gets to the stage where we kind of push them for the title, it gets down to the last day, even if he falls behind, you've got to say that it's progress year on year. You want to try and win the trophies as well. You want to try and get a trophy back, obviously not having won anything last season. But if you're getting to the stage where at October, November, December time, you're sort of out of the race, then the risk that you've taken will have fallen back on you, and we could be in a position where it's going to take us another 2 or 3 years to get back to that level, and it's going to need heavy investment from the investors behind the scenes to get there, because if Rangers are guaranteed this UEFA money, then where do we, how do we keep up with them in that sense?
The way I look at it, Ange Postecoglou is coming in and instead of it being his prize job, it's a noose round his neck right away because he's not first choice. This is not his fault. If he gets the job, or whoever gets the job, I've got massive sympathy for them, because they're like a firefighter trying to beat back a forest fire with a white hanky. They're starting at a very, very low point, and as soon as results or performances didn't start going that way, that he is going to be under pressure. And for me, that's wrong, and that's not the guy's fault. It's the board's fault. It's the executive team's fault for putting him in that position. So if Postecoglou comes in, he has my utmost support, and I will be 100% fully behind him. And if it all goes pear-shaped, I'm not going to blame him. I'm going to blame the fact to the guys who appointed him and the way that he's ended up being appointed. We've got to this point that he's got to come in and be the best Australian ever to arrive on British shores since Kylie Minogue. That's the only thing that's going to save him.
I thought you were going to say Scott McDonald there.
No, Kylie's better than Scott McDonald. Kylie's, come on.
Kylie might be good looking, but did she ever score against Rangers? Did she ever score in the Champions League? Did she ever give you that moment against AC Milan? Come on.
I should be so lucky, eh?
I knew it was coming.
But I feel sorry for the guy coming in, and he's going to need... I saw what happened to Wim Jansen. I saw what happened to Jo Venglos. And the press are going to have an absolute field day with this fella. And I haven't read anything about him. Well, I've read a couple of bits about him. I'm not going to listen to the podcast that you've listened to. I'm not going to read all the Celtic sites who have went to Japan and dug in and all of that, because I want to judge Ange Postecoglou on what he does at Celtic.
Yeah.
I want to see what he does at Celtic. I don't care what he's done previously. I just want him to... I'm going to judge him on what he does at Celtic. I'm going to judge him if he gets the job, like at this point next year. Now, at this point next year, he might still be behind, but if he's improved the side, improved the football, we need to actually be willing to actually give him a chance, because basically the board have written off this year.
Yeah.
Who's coming in? They're not coming in with one hand tied behind their back. They're coming in with two hands tied behind their back to try and get a tune out this side. And you've also got, I go back to the Joe Venglos season as well. Joe Venglos didn't get a tune out the team until after Christmas. Mm-hmm. And again, that was because he didn't have a pre-season, stuff like that. Guys coming back for the World Cup, because we had quite a lot of players at the World Cup that year. And by the time he brought in his own style of player, your Moravchuk, Johan Mialbi and stuff like that, it didn't start getting going until after Christmas. Yes, we ended up falling short. We ran out of the team, but I've said many a time, I wouldn't have minded Joe Venglos getting a second season, because I think we would have won the league that second season.
Well, you're now at the stage where you take a look at who's going to be at the Euros this summer. I mean, you've got Callum McGregor, Ryan Christie, not Jack Henry anymore because he's left, Greg Taylor, David Turnbull, James Forrest, and then Odson Edwards supposed to be at the Olympics for France this year. So you've got all those players that's coming back in, and I looked at the dates. Best case scenario, and not the best case scenario for Scotland, because we want them to do fantastic at the tournament, but best case scenario for Celtic is that the final game that these guys play in is on June 22nd against Croatia. And you're coming back in to pre-season training on the 5th, which is 2 weeks later, but you'll probably have to give them an extra couple of weeks off because of the way that they've played through the summer, basically. They've not had that break. Now, I think the Celtic players get roughly about 4 weeks off because they come back in the sort of last couple of weeks of June. So if you give them the extra couple of weeks off, it means they miss the whole training camp in Wales. It means they miss all the games, and probably their first game back would be against Preston at Celtic Park, which hopefully we'll get to on July 17th. Oh, Kevin's still there, right?
I'm still here, right?
Sorry, technical issues again. I think somebody's trying to take us down. I'm saying that the guys will come back on the first game they'll have is against Preston on July 17th, and then 3 days later you go into the Champions League qualifiers. We only 3 days have been in and about the squad and picking up who Postecoglou's style of training and the way he wants to implement football. Does that mean that you're going into these qualifiers potentially without these players, or are you just kind of going with, well, this is what you've done last season, use it for these games, and then we'll try and integrate you into that style of football?
Who knows? We don't actually know. I mean, will the players have had a break for the end of the season until going away with Scotland at the start of this week? They went away with Scotland, eh? So will they have had a break then? And maybe once the Euros is finished, will there be any sort of isolation period before they can actually join the Celtic bubble again? Or can they go for one elite sporting bubble, another supporting bubble right away? And they might not get any time off in between that. I can't see that happening. I can see a week or something like that, them maybe getting a week to 10 days off. But we don't know. It's the absolute unknown which is killing us at the moment. But you can't blame Postecoglou for that.
No, not at all.
You can't blame him for the hand that he's going to get dealt. You cannot blame him. And for anybody that's going to be, whoever becomes a manager, they've got their two hands tied behind their back to start off with. That brings me to Don Mackay as well. I think Don Mackay's got his two hands tied behind his back as soon as he starts on the 1st of July. And he's got a hell of a clean-up to do to actually distance himself from the previous regime.
See, when you look at it, see if somebody was previously to come in the 1st of July now. I'm trying to think back. When was Joe Venglos appointed? It was the middle of July, wasn't it?
Middle of July, eh?
Middle of July, right. But back in kind of those seasons, your season sort of started around about August time, so you still had a bit to get into. Now you're kind of talking at the fact where we've got to come back for pre-season training in the middle of June, because the season started earlier and earlier because of these qualifiers. So back then, if you'd waited till the 1st of July, you could have probably just about got away with it. But now there's just no time for it. See, when the season finishes in the end of May, that's when things have already got to start getting implemented. So as we were saying about, well, this is the board, this is how they've always done things, if that's the way that they kind of treat it, and you look at the kind of dates that previous managers have been appointed, it's roughly been round about this day. When you think about Brendan Rodgers, Neil Lennon, Tony Mowbray, they were all sort of appointed round about the end of May, start of June. Now we're kind of pushing beyond that. So even their own standards are starting to slip in that sense, and you can't really wait much longer.
It's difficult to sit here and say this, and it's difficult to sit here and say this before a ball's been kicked in the following season. But I'm sitting here going, I just hope we actually compete next season. That is where I am at this precise moment in time, and that is where we have been forced to be an inadequate board who can't seem to do anything.
Right, so you take a look at that, right? We just mentioned a couple of minutes ago that players might miss out of the first qualifier because of the bubbles and the sporting bubbles and all that, right? So if you were to go and take a look at the team that could potentially line up against what is very strong teams in that second qualifying round, I'm looking at a team that could potentially be Barkas in goal, Lee O'Connor at right back, it's either him or Anthony Ralston, Ayer, if he's still here, Welsh, and then who plays left back? Does Bolly get a clean slate? Does he come back in, or do you play Montgomery? Right, that's the kind of situation you're looking at, that back five, right? Then in the midfield, who have you got? Now, McGregor and all that's away, so you're talking about guys like Henderson, Sorrow, Luca Connell, who we just spoke about there, who's actually playing for Ireland's 21s at the minute, against Australia, ironically. And then on the right-hand side, James Forrest can't play, so you've got Dembele. You've got Rodgick in there, and then who plays left midfield? You're talking about maybe putting Bolly at left-back and pushing Montgomery up into left midfield, or Mikey Johnson comes in there as well. And then all you've got really up front is Albin Ayeti. That's the team that you could put out for that first qualifier if it gets to the stage that we've not brought anybody in, we've not brought any transfers in, and these players have to miss out because of the sort of the COVID bubbles. That is a frightening fact, and if that's the team that you've got to build on top of for next season, there's a lot of work needs done there.
Well, that follows what we do every season when we're going into Europe, eh? If you look at the team that played Lincoln Red Imps, and you look at the team that got through those Champions League qualifiers, that was a patched together mob as well, eh? And it's just what we do. We don't do planning. We're very reactive. Lanky 67 comes in. What about Liam Shaw?
Liam Shaw could be involved in that as well.
He could be involved in that as well. But it's just an utter shambles. I don't know who it was. I think it was a Rangers fan that came in. Thanks for your comment, mate. He came in and said, Rangers have already signed four players. That's how to run a team. That is. You're not going to get any argument from us regarding that. But that's what happens when you've got a director of football and a coaching staff that are all on the same page.
Aye, definitely. I mean, I think the writing was almost on the wall when you saw what happened with the Ben Davies deal back in January, and how we were so assured that he was coming in, and then somebody comes in at the last minute. This is exactly what's happened all over again with the managerial position. Now, I'd actually not be surprised to see Ben Davies come back into the equation this summer.
Well,
he's not exactly getting a deal or a game at Liverpool, is he?
Well, seemingly, I was listening to the Anfield Wrap the other day there, and seemingly Klopp's told him he's in his plans for next season.
He told him that in January as well, did he not?
But has he not been injured? Has he not been injured?
He picked up an injury at one point, but then you take a look at the guys that came in at Liverpool, like Nat Phillips and stuff, and he was even behind them. So what is he going to do with his career? Is he going to sit on the bench, or is he going to look to get some loan time? Imagine that, a 2-year loan deal to see out the rest of his Liverpool contract at Celtic. That would be the icing on the cake.
Is that not what the City group tried to do with us with Daniel Arzani?
That's exactly what they've done.
That's exactly what they tried to do with that. This is... Do you think there'll be a City group connection at all? Does the Fergal Harkin thing completely kill that notion that we were some sort of hidden in the cupboard stepchild of the City group?
Aye, we're not going to end up being Celtic City. I think we're all right there. I don't think there will be a City group connection. I think there's obviously always one there because Peter Lawwell's son's one of the kind of higher up members in there within the City group, and that goes back to the point of is Peter Lawwell still involved, and you can maybe say that's the case. There is some great youngsters at City, which I think Celtic would be desperate to try and bring up to Scotland. They've definitely had the success again down in raiding what's left of the Man City dressing room once everybody's been given a jersey. Certainly something Celtic should look into, but the Fergal Harkin thing, I don't get it at all. You're listening to people coming out saying that Celtic definitely did speak to him, and then Celtic's trying to put the note out that they definitely didn't speak to him. It's like when you used to go to the...
Like saying earlier on, he was my best pal, but he's not really. Go away.
It's like when you used to go to dancing, you say, do you want to get off with my pal? And she says no, and you go, wow, he wasn't interested in you in the first place and all that. That is exactly the way that Celtic's treated this, and it's terrible.
That's what we like. You mentioned the dancing there, but like that drunk guy is wandering about trying to get a one shot the slow dances at the end. They were getting that many knockbacks because we've been drinking all day and we've spewed in the front of our white Fran Alonso suit. And
don't bring Fran Alonso into this. He's doing a great job. You'll have Russell Boyce on your back.
Ah, Russell can be on my bank all he wants, man. I mean, it's an utter mess. And did you see, I don't know if you've hung with, just before we wrap up here, because I ken that you've got to go back to Warsaw, all right enough. have you seen the Adidas Glasgow jersey on the Celtic Superstore?
I did see it. I was sent it this morning by Glasgow FIFA on Twitter. Thanks for sending me that. That was a lovely thing to see this morning. Again, you look at it, I think they've done a Dublin one as well, which is green and orange with the orange on the sleeves and the green on the front, which was nice. I think you'll see that maybe in the Superstore at a push, and it will sell in the single figures.
Why? Who reads the room with this kind of thing? Who reads the room? Why is the commercial director even putting that on the website? Because it looks like a 1992 Rangers top.
Except
it's dark blue.
And I believe it was priced at £55, ironically.
It is priced at £55 as well.
As you said, somebody not reading the room, but
they're trolling us, mate. They're trolling us. They're absolutely taking the mick out of us.
When's the vouchers coming out? Because you still can't even buy that, can you? Because it's only a £50 voucher.
It's only a £50 voucher, but it depends how many season tickets you've got in your house.
That's true.
I've got £100 coming here because of mine and my daughter's.
As far as I'm aware, the away kit is to be released tomorrow. I think I've seen that somewhere. So it'll be interesting to see what they kind of pull together for the away kit.
Only Celtic could release an away kit without a manager. And in this complete and utter time of flux, only Celtic could think it was a good PR to release an away kit.
Well, there'll come a time. I mean, me and you might be old and decrepit, but there'll come a time when Celtic learn how to read the room. But unfortunately, it's just not now.
Do you think Celtic will price their away kit at £55?
Oh, that would be a bargain. Have you seen the prices over the last couple of years? It's over £60.
The last top I bought was in 2007. That was the last top, the replica kit that I bought. And they had the cheek to ask me to go on to go on one of the focus groups to design a new kit, and I'm going, I didn't buy kits.
you know that would have been the case. The top, that Glasgow top that's just been released, that's exactly what they're trying to put out.
Right, I think that's enough for the day. I hope everybody's enjoyed it this Wednesday. I hope we've gave you a laugh and no depressions too much. So everybody subscribe, tell folk about us, tell folk you didn't like about us, tell all your pals, your family, your grannies, your aunties, get them to subscribe to the YouTube. We've got some great stuff on the YouTube. We've got Natasha's got a follow up to her John Barnes interview tonight. That's on tonight. And also catch up with Amy Canavan's interview with Paul Elliott. Absolutely fantastic stuff. So, lads, I'll see you all later. And remember, be nice to each other and keep calm, eh? See you later.
Message and data rates may apply. Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to anyone that texts EASY to 203203. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad, because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part? Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let Bosley show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY to 203203. That's EASY to 203203.
This week on The Marketer's Report, Patrizio Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct-to-Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on building trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all, every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the data you need to grow. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.